A great morning. Man, just to appreciate, think about and appreciate. I visualize in that passage that was read this morning, just God coming down. I love that. Protecting us, taking care of us, answering the cry of the broken, just riding on the clouds to come down and rescue us, smoke coming out of his nose, you know, just our defender. I love that picture of God. And, I don't know if you guys have ever encountered that passage in a time when you needed God to come down and be angry for you when you didn't, you know, you knew you shouldn't be angry. You should trust in the Lord. But boy, when you trust in him, here he comes, right? He always hears the cry of the broken. I was speaking with our members this morning, just talking about how God breaks us in every area of life. You know, he brings us to a place of dependence. You know, we are very good at thinking we have the answers. And when we do, then God has to show us that we don't. Not because he's upset with us. It's because he wants us to know him as our provider, as our parent, as our wisdom. Whatever it is that we think we've got that we can do apart from him, he's going to break that from us. But boy, when we do, when we surrender, it's like all of a sudden the floodgates open. And God comes in and takes care and does what he does so that we can know him. You know, if it's a mixture of us and God, then we don't really get to know God. We somehow think that we are something, and we come to know something about ourselves. Well, you know, I have a lot more faith than I thought I did. Or I'm really a lot stronger than I thought it was. Or a lot, you know, I really have a lot more wisdom than I thought I did. But boy, when God comes down in our brokenness and rescues us and shows us what it's like to have the King take care of us, then we recognize then we become submissive, right? And then it causes us to surrender every aspect of life. And it's a cycle of, man, I surrendered in this area, so maybe what God's trying to get me to do is surrender in this area. And we're constantly surrendering. And that feels like a, you know, we've not been taught that it's good to raise a white flag, but I want to say this morning, it's good to raise a white flag with God. When it comes to him, he needs to be all for us, all, everything. We need to let God be all, and we do that from the very beginning. You know, we can either do it by God coming in and breaking us, you know, allowing circumstances to happen in our lives where we are being broken, which God is good to do because he loves us, and those that he loves, he chastens, he disciplines, and so God uses circumstances to do that, or we can just set the table for God. And I recommend the second. I think it's a lot better, right? To set the table for God, to say, okay, we're gonna go ahead and set the table. I'm just going to ask ahead of time, how do you want me to handle this situation with my children? How do you want me to handle this situation with my finances? How do you want me to handle this situation with the mother of my children? How do you want me to handle my kids? What do you want me to do? And you just speak, and then I'll follow you. We'll just do it that way instead of me trying to do it my way and then you coming in and you having to fix everything that's messed up. I'm just going to go ahead and surrender ahead of time. Y'all with me? There's something about seeing God for who he is that causes us just to surrender to that. But you got to see God for who he is. You're not just going to see that by hearing a message. You're not going to see that when someone, albeit rightly, divides the word for you. You're not going to see it. Not in a way that transforms your life. You need to see it by obeying what God speaks to you. You're going to see it by circumstances in life. When we face life and we face it with the King and we say, okay, God, you unfold your wisdom. And then when God does it, man, we come to know him by experience. There's a group of disciples that encountered Jesus in various different ways. Sometimes he was healing them, sometimes he was feeding them, sometimes it was just in his teaching, and they were just enamored by the wisdom and the depth of the truth that was obvious in the things that he taught, even though he wasn't trained in the ways that the rabbis or teachers of the law were trained. He exuded this all the truth, and he was an embodiment of the character of God. And people were constantly being just blown away by the miracles that Jesus was doing, yeah, but by the teaching he was doing and by the sacrilege that Jesus performed when he would do things against what their interpretation of the law was. And they're following him. And so he gathers this crowd of people that are there gathering around him to hear him teach. Even the pagans. In Luke 15:1, it says that tax collectors and notorious sinners were gathering around him to hear what he had to say, because his character and his different characteristics of who he was, the love that he had, the desire that he had to rescue those who were condemned, to stand in their defense when the law would stand against them. All of that was just grabbing the people when they saw the reality of who he was. So they gathered, they began to follow him, and then Jesus began to teach them, right? Blessed are you, because there's been a transformation that's happened in your life as a result of you seeing me with the eyes of the Spirit, not seeing me in human eyes, not seeing me in religion's eyes, but seeing me in the eyes of the Spirit. You are seeing the truth about who I am, and blessed are you, because your character is changing. There are characteristics that are becoming evident in your life. Blessed are you, because these things are, I see these things in you. And let me just say, in addition to that, that there are certain expressions that I see in people who have your character. And it's the same kind of expressions that you see in me. It's the same expressions that you desire now from your heart, because your hearts have been changed by your connection to me. And so it's your life is showing that there's a difference in what you believe. It's something that's internal that's making its way out. Which, church, listen, that's always the case. That's always the case for believers. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Yes, he lived exactly according to what the law predicted he would do. And he fulfilled it. He completed it. But he also, not only did he become our righteousness, but he became our righteousness so that we might live righteous lives, walk in the truth. And so there are expressions of this character that should be, that will be naturally what we do if we surrender to God. So we've been talking about that. And last week, we looked at how Jesus' audience, from the vantage point of this new kingdom, right, this new life in the kingdom, we looked at how Jesus' audience was now able to make sense of a different perspective regarding judgment, from the clear realization of their forgiveness from God that was expressed in Jesus, and the obvious acceptance that they got from Jesus, and the love that they received from him. It didn't make sense for them anymore to judge others. Right? Because they saw Jesus' perfection and realized their own sinfulness, and so they saw the log in their own eye. They saw that Jesus didn't condemn them, even though they deserved it, so they didn't feel any need or desire to condemn others. It would be silly for us to judge and condemn when we've received that kind of love and forgiveness from Jesus. And then I believe last week the Lord wanted me to remind us that rising up in religion for us, even this can become religion, it can be all about us, that we need to be reminded that rising up and thinking that we have something that nobody else has, boy, we got it and nobody else does, that rising up would cause us to swell up with pride because we see ourselves as better than someone else, that's the opposite of what Jesus is describing here. And it is our flesh. Our flesh tends to do that. Wow, we really are experiencing God in some cool ways. You guys should be experiencing God in cool ways too. Let us tell you how to do it. You know, it's not that. Man, we're leading them to the King. We're pointing them to the King who's changed the way we think, who's changed the way we live, who's changing our character on the inside by his love, by his patience with us. I hope that you had the same experience that I had last week, in the wake of last week's message. It wasn't good. It was good, but it wasn't good. I noticed a number of times last week my tendency to judge. Did you? Did it become more obvious for you last week in the wake of the message? I had a number of circumstances this week that I noticed. I still have this tendency to judge, to look at other people and see myself as better and not look at the log in my own eye. The difference, I think, for me now, though, and maybe for you this week, is that my heart was repulsed by it. I noticed this week that my heart is repulsed. I don't want that in me anymore. God is changing my heart. And the word that came last week in the Spirit's reminders this week of my tendency to judge, I'm thankful that God showed me also my heart. I'm repulsed by it. And I can see how a community of non-believers are repulsed by our judgment, because I felt it. So let me just remind us of last week's summary. Blessed are those who possess the Spirit of God, whose hearts are being changed, who mourn their past sins, and are abundantly aware of their own sinfulness, who desire to be poor in spirit and pursue meekness, and therefore naturally spend their lives attempting to communicate the truth about God's grace to the world instead of judging others. Blessed are us when we not only have the characteristics of meekness and being poor in spirit and mourning our past sins, but when that finds expression in us not judging anymore, but instead expressing grace to the world. And so we pick up in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. And Jesus continues this message and gives us another expression of the character traits of those who are walking in the kingdom of God. He says this: ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Which one of you, if he has a son, or rather if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks him for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, I mean, this is God's promise for those who ask. Here's what he says. For those who ask, he says, they shall receive. For those that long, he says, they will find. For those that search, he says, the door will be open to them. Those things to which they've been shut off will be open to them. So basically, Jesus is promising to fulfill the desires of the hearts of those to whom he is speaking. Now, the lost world and pagan believers, both, that is, those who are believers but are living in a selfish lifestyle or are not being quick to allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify them, and definitely people who are not believers are drawn to the idea of asking whatever we will of God and getting it, right? And this passage has definitely been misinterpreted. I mean, if we were to tell pagans today, hey, whatever you ask God for, you can get, well, they might like that, you know? Surely they would, because they're all about themselves. But it's all too true in the church that we're all about getting what we want from God, right? Right? Now, we're always asking for ourselves. Christian churches have this name it and claim it mentality. They interpret this passage as a free for all for getting what we want from God. Now, I hope we understand at this point, in the context of this message, in the context of the people that Jesus is speaking to, and the message that he's giving, that Jesus is not saying that. We need to remember the people that he's speaking to. Remember, he's speaking to those whose hearts have been changed because of their connection with him. The vital connection has radically changed what they ask and seek for. They're knocking on a different door. Everybody get that? They've been listening to Jesus speak about the blessings that come as they live life under kingdom principles. And it's understood by the listeners that Jesus' promise about prayer is true when believers ask for kingdom requests. There's been a transference of a not geographical, but spiritually, they've transferred geographically to a different kingdom. And I was thinking about just applications of this. I think about the Williamses that we've been praying for, which, by the way, they got their visas and they're going to be here at the end of the month. Praise God for that, right? We've been praying for them. I think about how drastically different they are than when we first had them. When they were a part of Harvest, and we sent them off to Nepal and as journeyman missionaries. I just think about how radically different the things are that they would be praying for. You know, just a change of location changes what you pray for. I mean, they're now living in Uganda in a place that I can promise you they never pray for a toaster anymore, a television, you know. They don't pray for a dishwasher. You know, everything changes because there's been a change of location, right? Perspective changes. The things that they pray for change because they've changed location. Now, there's a spiritual application to that as well. You know, I think I love it when we take people on mission trips. I was a youth minister for lots of years, and when I take youth on a mission trip, it was the best time for me because they would get to the place where they finally would start thinking differently. You know, when we were at home, they would be praying for, you know, for helping people to treat them nice, you know, help my friends to like me better. You know, I mean, all kinds of just little selfish prayers. And when they get on mission trip, we'd be all standing in a circle, and I'd hear one of them praying for a lost person by name, and I'd go, "Yeah, that's her." You know, the same one that's not praying, that's praying for God to kill somebody at home. You know, they're praying for a lost person to be saved here, for someone to be killed because they're not treating them right. And now all of a sudden they have this different perspective. Well, I mean, that's right. You know, a change of location, right? So one of the benefits is they can go on a mission trip and act like something they're not normally. And hopefully, my prayer was always, God, let it stick, right? Let them come back and start living in the kingdom. Perspectives change. It's more important to me that you guys, as a gathering place, that you understand the God that you serve. That you know him, that you know his character. That you come to know God personally by experiencing him in your life, obeying what he says and seeing what he does, and coming to know the consistency of his character, because ultimately that's moving into another kingdom. That's moving into another kingdom. It's moving from one kingdom where you're in control and you're the God, and you're moving in a new kingdom. It's a change of location that changes perspective on everything. And it certainly changes perspective on the things that we ask for. When we're living in the kingdom, we're not asking anymore like people who live in the old kingdom, the kingdom where we're selfish, the kingdom where it's all about us, and we get what we need and we get what we want, and that's what we always pray for. We pray in circles all the time and asking God to remove the pain and remove the people, the sinful people around us. And then now we're in this kingdom where we're saying, God, bring sinners around me. Give me relationships with lost people and somehow break through my selfishness so they can see you. My whole prayer's changed in relationship to people. And where we're over here, we're saying, God, give us enough money so that we can pay for this beautiful house that you gave us and Lord, all this stuff that we want you to do. And then we move over here to the other kingdom, and all of a sudden our prayers are, God, reduce our debt. God, reduce what we have. Help us to know what we need to reduce so that we can give more to people, so we can bless people. Everything changes. Our prayers change when we come into this new kingdom. It's a change of location. It's literally moving from one kingdom to another. Visualize that in your mind. And remember that these things that we're talking about are not just good ideas, man. This is what it's like to live in the kingdom. This is what we have to give to the community around us. It's living in the kingdom. So, how do prayers change when you get relocated into the kingdom? How do our prayers change? When Jesus is saying, ask, seek, knock, what's he say? How do our prayers change? James gives us a couple of ideas about that. First of all, you know the king by experience, and that knowledge by experience increases your faith. In James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. So he says kingdom faith is something that we need. The prayers change when we come into the kingdom because now we're praying with kingdom faith. Now, possible responses to that, to praying, you know, the reason why we don't have our prayers answered is because we don't have faith. It's clearly said here. And maybe your response is, oh no, I don't have enough faith. I'm going to study harder, work harder. I'm going to get more accountability for living by faith. Now, those are all good things, but that's not going to get it. That's what happens in this kingdom when we're in control. And we're operating and trying to build up something. In the kingdom of God, what we're doing is we have nothing to offer, and we recognize that. So don't say, oh no, when it talks about faith and you feel like your faith is small. Another response might be, I'm going to do everything necessary to look like I have faith, and then my prayers will be answered. Right? I'm going to talk like I have faith. I've been told that a lot. That's common mentality, just positive speaking, right? Now, is there anything wrong with positive speaking? No, I think it's good. I think we should speak the truth. But again, that's something we do. It's something we build up. That's not what it's like to live in this kingdom where God's in control. That's what it's like to live in the kingdom when we're in control. That's the old kingdom. We've relocated now. And so now, how do we pray? We pray in faith. The writer of James is saying, he understands that you should ask in faith. Now, if you don't have wisdom, ask for it, and God gives generously without reproach. How does he know that? Because apparently he's asked for it, and God's given it to him. He's had experiences with God where he needed wisdom, and God gave it to him. He knows where wisdom comes from. It comes from the king. And so he's asking constantly. He's setting the table, and he knows from experience. Y'all with me? He knows from experience that God provides wisdom when you ask. Scripture says that, but he knows it by experience, that God provides wisdom when you ask. And so because he's had these experiences with God where he's asked, his faith is increased. Because he has these experiences where God has provided and shown his character, his faith is increased. Because he's walked through life with God and he came to a place where he needed wisdom, didn't know what to do, asked God. God gave him the wisdom. He acted in that wisdom and he understood that God gives wisdom. I'm going to say that again. That was good. Right? He came to a place in his life where he needed wisdom. He asked God for wisdom. God gave him wisdom. He acted on what God gave him, and he recognized the result. And in the result, he looks at it and says, that's not me. That's the wisdom of God. And his faith is increased. Now he trusts God for wisdom. Now my experience in my marriage in year 6 was not good. Really, that's a very mild description. I was praying that God would kill Talitha. So that's a little better description. Not good. God gave me some wisdom. Love her like Christ loved the church. Give all the time. Don't expect anything in return. Really? That doesn't sound like wisdom. That sounds like a miserable life to me. But I'm not living in that kingdom anymore. I was, and that's why I was miserable. Because I'm a child of the king living in control of my own life. But then I made a decision. God, you empower me. I'm going to act on what you said. I acted on what he said. I got a new wife in return. Now, I'm glad I got a new wife because that makes life a lot better. Because when mama's happy, everybody's happy. But I'm more enamored by the fact that God showed me by that experience that he has wisdom beyond my wisdom. I would never have thought that when I'm not getting what I want from my wife, I should give more. That didn't make sense, but that's God's wisdom. Now I know that. So what has it done? It gave me a good wife, yes, but it showed me a good God. It showed me a God who has wisdom that's beyond anything I would ever think of. So I need to expect that in every circumstance in life, when I need wisdom, I can have faith that the same God that gave me wisdom for my marriage can give me wisdom for my finances, can give me wisdom for my relationships, can give me wisdom for my kids and how to raise them, can give me wisdom for decisions I need to make about employment, all of that. God has that to give. So don't ask if you don't have faith. Ask in the faith that you have. But don't feel bad and think, oh, I got to build some faith up. Here's how you build up faith. Walk in the kingdom. Walk in the kingdom. Set the table for the king. Ask him all the time, God, what do I do in this circumstance? Let him give you wisdom. Act on it. Watch what he does. Your faith will increase. I promise. It works. Because it's not it, it's a him. That's what it's like to walk in the kingdom. So these people are walking in the kingdom, and they're understanding that I'm going to obey God with real faith, the faith that I have, and I'm going to let him show me more about himself, and then I'm going to trust him more, and I'm going to obey him more. That's going to be the result. In verse 11, Jesus said, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to him who asks?" Do you know the king well enough by experience to trust that what he gives you will be the best? That this is his plan. This his agenda, his provision, his plan, his wisdom, they're always best. Have you discovered that yet? So we need to have kingdom faith. Prayers change the way, our prayers change whenever we relocate into the kingdom of God. And here's one way they change. We pray in faith. We have kingdom faith when we pray. Faith that comes from what we know about God. The second thing, prayers change when we relocate into the kingdom of God because we have a new agenda. We have a kingdom agenda instead of our own agenda. James chapter 4, verse 3 says this, "You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions." Eric touched on this when he talked about the Lord's Prayer, said some great things regarding that. I just want to reiterate that. We pray according to a different agenda. It's not an agenda that brings attention to ourselves. It's not an agenda that brings things to ourselves. We're praying now in a different way. Why do our prayers not get answered? Maybe we are not praying kingdom prayers. We're praying according to our own agenda, which is the old kingdom. Now we've relocated into a new kingdom. And we need to pray according to our new passions. We have to be asking rightly, according to the will of God, and in a way that will reveal the glory of God. Always ask those questions. Does this bring glory to God? Does the answer to this prayer bring glory to God? Is this God's will, the way that I'm praying? These disciples had faith, and so they had the right agenda in mind. What are some of the wrong agendas? I think there's a pagan agenda that we pray so that we might consume God's resources and God's what God gives us to please the flesh. I had a friend in college who desired to be sexually active before marriage, and he wanted me to pray with him that his girlfriend wouldn't get pregnant. It's kind of weird, but that's how dysfunctional it is. When we move into a new kingdom, the kingdom of God, and we try to act like or pray like we're in the old kingdom, you know, that was a pagan prayer. Is that I might continue in the flesh. So I'm saying I'm operating in the kingdom, but I'm not praying according to God's agenda, and I should know that. I should know the king well enough to know the things that come out of my mouth that I ask for are not a part of his agenda. And when I pray in the flesh instead of under God's agenda, then I shouldn't expect to get an answer regarding that. Now, that's the wrong motive. I'm praying for God's resources to use on my pleasures. sinful pleasures. A second wrong agenda, I think, is a religious agenda. I think, you know, we talk about this all the time. It's where I spent most of my ministry, that I might consume God's resources in order to gain spiritual status, that I might consume God's resources in order to gain some kind of a spiritual position that I might be prideful about. I had a friend, a number of different cases, but I thought of one this week as an illustration, who had a large church that was looking at him as a possibility of a pastor. It's a great situation in the flesh, but he was excited because it was a larger situation. Because it was going to get, you know, he was climbing this ladder of success, which I've done too. You know, climbing the ladder of success, moving from one church to a larger church, to a more prestigious church, right? Asked me if I would pray with him about that. Man, this is the position I've always looked for. This is the position I've wanted. And I knew in my spirit, in my heart, and knowing this friend of mine, that the reason why he wanted the position was not because it would give him opportunity to speak into people's lives. It was because it gave him status. It gave him status with the people that he was living around, with the other preachers in town and friends of his who he graduated from seminary with. And we shouldn't expect that God's going to give us that. It sounds spiritual for us to say, hey, pray for me, man. I got this church looking at me. And, you know, it sounds spiritual, but is it really? And not if we're on a different agenda. If we're on a kingdom agenda, then we don't care about the size of churches. We don't care about how many people notice us or whether we get some kind of status or prestige in the eyes of other preachers and religious folk. But there were certainly a lot of those kind of people in Jesus' day. I had someone one time ask me to pray that their church, that had dwindled, by the way, to 20 people, to pray that their church could purchase some property so they could build a newer building. And they actually had already done the dirt work. When I drove up to the building, I saw the dirt work. I thought, well, something's going on here. And I asked them, and they said, oh, we're building that, you know, we want to just pray for us, man. We need the money to be able to do this. And that was their answer to drawing people in, was building a new building. And man, just immediately in my spirit, I thought, that's not it. That's not it. That's trying to get status with people by what we possess. That's not the kingdom. It's a different prayer. I can't pray that way, even though it sounds spiritual. Pray for us that we can get a bigger building. It sounds spiritual. But in the kingdom of God, it's not about that buildings anymore. So, you know, so there's a wrong agenda in those circumstances. That's a religious agenda. So, you know, wrong agenda is a pagan agenda or a religious agenda. But there is an asking. There's an asking that happens when we ask with a heart that's seeking the kingdom, seeking to bring glory to God and to make his name great, to show the reality of who he is. That reality we've already been discovering that we want desperately to give to other people, that's a kingdom prayer. And so when we pray, we should pray with that in mind, pray with the kingdom in mind. Maybe we don't get what we ask for because we're praying according to some of these other agendas with the wrong motive, or to use the resources on ourselves. Maybe we're not getting what we ask for because we're not praying with faith. And I just got to say, guys, as I was studying this passage, here's where I got, and maybe you're there right now. It's that, man, I don't pray right. I don't pray right. Man, I have failed in my praying. That's where I got. Man, the Lord gave me this passage immediately. Immediately, and when those thoughts hit my brain, the Holy Spirit said this, yeah, but guess what? I do. I do pray right. You keep your heart for me. You walk in this kingdom where you're seeking me, where you're pursuing me, where you're all about me, where you don't get stuck in all this doing things and all this thinking the right way and experiencing all these things, but you stay with me and you focus on loving me and knowing me. I got that. I got the prayer part. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says this. He says, likewise, verse 26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. Thank you. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, I just need to keep responding naturally in the kingdom of God to what God's doing in my heart. I'm praying for God's will, getting to know him, asking, knocking, seeking, right? Trying to keep my heart focused, tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit that's working already to do that, fighting against the flesh, running the race of pursuing God, and just watch what he does to my heart. We've been relocated into the kingdom of God. Our prayers are different. And the things that we pray for will be answered in the kingdom. They will be. So in closing, let's summarize this way. Blessed are those who possess the Spirit of God, whose hearts are being changed, who hunger and thirst for righteousness and desire the things that God desires, so that they naturally ask for and receive that for which they long. They find that for which they search. And they have the door open to that from which they have been shut off. Blessed are we when we find that expression happening in our lives and our prayers are being answered by the Lord. Would you bow for a minute? Let's think about what the Lord said today. And would you make application to your own life? Whatever the Lord said to you in the message today, I just pray that you will make application for your life. I know we're all different places, but would you ask some questions about today's message for your life? First of all, let me just deal with last week. Man, if God has revealed to you that you've still got a lot of judgment in you, let me just remind you that we are blessed because we possess the Spirit of God and our hearts are being changed by the Spirit. And I know in your heart you mourn your past sins. I know that. I know that you're abundantly aware of your own sinfulness. And you desire to be poor in spirit and to pursue meekness. So ask the Lord to strengthen that in you so that you spend your life attempting to communicate the truth about God's grace to people instead of judging them. Just ask God to do that. I've done it all week long. God, do that in us. Father, take away our judging eyes. Help us to show the truth about who you are to the world around us. And respond to asking today and seeking and knocking. And God has given us this promise. Jesus said it. To fulfill the desire of the hearts of those who live in the kingdom. So ask yourself a question today. Are you obeying God and allowing him to increase your faith? Satan wants you to say, oh no, I don't have enough faith. I'm going to do something. I believe the Spirit is saying this. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me, and you will produce fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Would you just surrender to God today? And ask him, God, help my unbelief, strengthen my faith. Do you know the King well enough to trust that what he gives you will be best? That his plan and agenda, his provision, his wisdom is always best. If not, ask God to increase your faith by giving you things to obey and showing himself to you. Are you asking rightly? Are you asking so you can spend God's resources on your own passions? Do you have a pagan agenda? Do you have a religious agenda? Both of which is for you and not for the kingdom? Then ask God this morning to give you a heart that seeks the kingdom that seeks to bring glory to the King. And then ask what you will. Ask what you will. Spirit, help us in our weakness. We don't know how to pray as we ought. Intercede for us with spiritual groanings deeper than our words. Intercede for us. Speak to the Father. Search our hearts and know, Lord, our desires. And intercede for the saints according to the will of God, not our will. Teach us. Teach us when we err in our prayers. And I just pray that this will be a happy, content people who possess the Spirit of God, whose hearts are continually being changed and are hungering and thirsting for righteousness and desiring the things that God desires. So that the natural inclination from our hearts is that we would ask for and receive the things that we long for. That we would find those things that we search for and have the door open to us from in regard to those things that we've been shut off from. Teach us, Lord. We submit ourselves to you. Our posture is one of surrender today. Take our lives. Take this church. Show your glory through us. We know you'll answer that prayer and show us how to do that. We praise you and thank you for all that you're doing here in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.